I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Hello, Jillian. Remember when you used to like to welcome people to the show?
I loved it when you said, "Hey, welcome to the show." Oh, I found some old tape of you. I should bring it in for you.
Is it as bad as old pictures?
No, it's good. It's really good. But you're definitely, like, you're very relaxed now.
Yeah,
but like when you first buy stuff? Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, it's just like you're just like, "Hey!" And then you can do this and you stick under there and boom, it's done. It's fantastic. Oh my god, I be laughing. It's so awesome. No, it's great. I love this too, but man, oh my goodness, I laughed. So
god.
Good.
Well, that's like the beginning of the radio days, boy.
Yeah.
Talk about, which is actually kind of an interesting segue into what I was going to talk about. But when you look at that, you know, when we first started doing that, it was just, I was on a local LA station.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, and the whole idea was how, because it was always a prep towards the daytime show that still hasn't come into being yet. But it was like, how can we mold her and how can she cut her teeth and get more comfortable as like a talk show host,
So,
you know, pontificating on all different subjects and, oh, I know, radio. And okay, let's start small. She's never done it. And then, of course, I got more comfortable and I did other things and I've hosted specials and for the Super Bowl specials on CBS and all this stuff. But I started out small to kind of like, learn the medium. And now, of course, with the podcast, you know, we're on iHeart and all of that, and the iTunes homepage, which is cool. But it took years to kind of get comfortable and what have you. But what I was going to talk about is a friend of mine has opened a business. So she has this really cute idea and they kind of put the whole thing into fruition. And we're sitting at dinner right before they opened the place. And, you know, I opened my own gym, mm-hmm. and I've had, she's 33, I believe, and I'm 39, so I have 6 more years of failures.
Oh, get out of here.
I don't know, girl, tell him I'm serious, under my belt. And So I'm kind of asking her like a little bit about the construction. And I was like, well, are you doing a set price with a contractor? And, oh, I'm doing a bid. And I was like, oh, and Heidi's like, babe, no, don't. And of course, they have this contractor who just bones out on them and disappears and kind of, and they go through all this stuff. And then I was like, well, okay, what's your marketing plan? Like, what's your marketing strategy? And it's like, well, you know, we're going to go word of mouth and the location. And I was like, yeah. And Heidi's like, no, no, baby, don't do it. Right. So I was like, oh my God. Okay. So, and then, you know, I was like, all right, well, how much capital does she have to run the business? And Heidi's like, I still don't know the answer to that question because it's like, it's going to take time to build the clientele. So meanwhile, she's got this great idea and she's really done a fabulous job of creating this space. But in the very beginning, when it opened, it was like, oh my God, no one's here, no one's here, no one's here. And I thought, this is how things go wrong. And of course, I think it's going to go fine. But it was like, all right, let's jump in and kind of, now everybody, let's do damage. How can we market? What do we do? But what I thought was so interesting about it is that when I opened my own gym, I'd worked at a gym. I built a sports medicine facility. C, I had an established clientele. So A, I knew exactly how the place needed to run. I knew exactly where to advertise and how to market and how to do like affiliate deals with spas, and they send you clients and you send them clients, and you know what magazines to market it, because we'd already done it. I'd already worked at other places and seen what worked for them, what mm-hmm. didn't work for them, how to run it, you know, who to pay, how to, you know, all this stuff. I'd already done that. Like, also when I opened the gym, I had built a clientele. So I was able to move my clientele. So there wasn't so much like, dear God, how are we going to get clients? How are we going to get clients? Because I already had a clientele, an existing clientele that I was able to move. And I also had seen the way to market and what had worked. So at the same time, there was a big risk involved, but I had all of the information going forward that better set me up for success. Right. And as it turns out, that gym was a huge success. I ended up getting Biggest Loser and subsequently had sold the gym to Jackie Warner,
right?
Who then did a show about the gym that I opened. but, and then, you know, whatever happened, happened. But it ended up being very successful. And yes, you are going to have like, there's going to be things that come up that you didn't know about or aspects that are going to catch you off guard. But I wanted to throw this out there because it doesn't matter what the goal is, whether it's a healthier body or starting your own business or whatever it is that you want to pursue. We talk about this a little bit on the Maximize Your Life tour. And while action is really important in life, you have to bring action to your intentions. Taking action without the proper information can be absolutely devastating in your life. And while you might have a great idea, a $1 million idea, or you might have the best intentions, I want to get healthy, I want to blah, 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 that's not enough because you've got to think about the actual execution. And so often people go, I've got 100 pounds to lose. I don't know where to begin. I'm working at a job making minimum wage, and I want to go back to school and get my degree, but I've got two kids. Where do I begin? There's no game plan there.
Right.
Or yeah. If you jump in without having thought everything through, you're really going to put yourself through hell and likely go bankrupt. You start a diet without the proper information. Well, likely what's going to happen is you're not going to lose weight very quickly. You're not going to understand the science of what's going on with your body. You're going to get really frustrated, quit, think what's the point, and go back to eating poorly again. But if you have all the information, you'll understand like, God, I haven't lost a pound. Well, right, but you're no longer gaining weight because you were actively gaining weight. So in truth, you are seeing a difference, but you're not doing the right stuff, the right combination of diet and exercise to make the needle move at a more accelerated pace down on the scale to start seeing actual weight loss as opposed to weight maintenance. And then with the right information, you can powerfully affect change that keeps you motivated and moving forward. So I really have just watched this from afar. And it's frustrating for me as somebody who's been there before, because I, of course, I want to jump in. And there, sure. You know, there are pulling themselves up by the bootstraps and figuring it all out and doing great now. But having to watch that kind of rocky start was so hard to watch, having sort of been down that path. And I thought, you know, I want to talk about this because here's a pair of women that are smart. Here's a pair of women with a great idea. And had they done a little bit more research instead of like a, you know what, we're going to jump in and figure it all out while we're in there. And I, well, I appreciate that attitude of like, you know, we pull ourselves up, you bite off more than you can chew, and then you just chew it. Well, there should be a strategy. Yeah. How do you eat one elephant?
Yeah.
One bite at a time. Like, there's a strategy. It's not like you shove the whole thing in your mouth and hope for the best. And I really just wanted to kind of talk about that and say to you, if you pursue this lofty goal and you fail, it's likely that you failed because you didn't have the information. Right. And that's what failure is meant to do. It's meant to teach you. So you reapproach with better information. You can look back and go, what did I not know? What do I need to know? And then you're successful the next time. But don't invite failure. A sure way to fail is to go in and take action with no information.
Mm-hmm.
Misinformation is one thing. No information is all your fault.
Oh, good point.
I know.
That's a really good point. You're right. Misinformation is like, hey, they told me the wrong.
I heard this. I tried it. It didn't work. I'm adjusting. But if you go in with no information and go, well, you know, word of mouth, you're going to get burned by it. So if you jump in with no information, that's your fault. Mm-hmm. Don't take action with no information. I think one of the smartest things about being smart is knowing what you don't know.
Mm.
That's key.
And then, and admitting you don't know.
Knowing what you don't know
yeah.
and getting people with the information.
Mm-hmm.
And don't take action until you have as much information as you can gather and a very specific, strategic, step-by-step plan. And then you set yourself up for success. And when you fail from misinformation, you fine-tune and readjust. But failing from no information, there's no excuse for that. That's it. Anyway.
No, that's good. That's good. I'm still getting quite a giggle out of Heidi trying to tell you to to be quiet because I can just see you almost bleeding from the ears.
Yeah, I was
trying
dying.
Not to talk.
Oh, I was dying.
I don't know why that just tickles my fancy.
Oh my God. He's just, you know, it's like.
Was she kicking you under the table?
She's like, please don't do this. Please don't do this. And then, of course, you know, then I'm like, I told you so. Okay, guys, I'm going to do a health and wellness segment. Are you ready?
I am.
And these are going to be gems.
Okay.
Pearls of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever noticed how sometimes after you eat a big meal, you still feel hungry?
Yes.
Or like a few minutes later, you still feel hungry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I want to talk about why this might be and how we can better deal with it. Ready? Mm-hmm. I got six good reasons. Number one, if you're drinking a lot of soda, this could be part of the problem because soda is very high in obviously what we call high fructose corn syrup. And what it does, beverages that are high in fructose corn syrup or foods that are high in high fructose corn syrup for that matter, basically reduce blood flow and activity in your brain region that regulates appetite, and it decreases your feeling of satiety and fullness. So that could be a big contributor if you drink a lot of soda. Here's another one, sleep. When you don't sleep,
totally.
We've talked about this one. When you don't sleep, have you ever noticed that you're starving the next day? Well, of course, one of the things it does is it regulates your hunger hormones. So when you sleep more, your body releases more leptin, which is a hormone that makes you feel more full. When you sleep less, your body releases more of the hunger hormone called ghrelin. And we often mistake that tiredness for a lack of energy intake. So we eat more. You know the solution symbol, prioritize your sleep. Get preferably 8 hours, at least six. And I don't care what you've got to do. I've often said if it's a choice between going to the gym in the morning or getting at least 6 hours of sleep, I will sleep because I'll just end up eating all day long anyway if I don't.
What time do you go to bed at night?
Honestly, these days, probably 10.
Because and you get up at?
Phoenix wakes us up at 6.
So you are up that early.
He wakes us up at like 6:30.
And what about on shooting days? You must be up at
just depends. Yeah. It depends. I try to tell, like, Autumn will always try to get me there at 9, but it's not because of sleep. It's because of the kids.
Yeah.
So I can get up and help Heidi and make breakfast and take Lou to school or whatever it might be. Because it's kind of hard to do that with both kids as one parent. It's a challenge because it's like you're getting one up, you're changing a diaper, you're getting them into their clothes, you're trying to feed them, you're trying to clean them up, you're trying to get somewhere. And we find that like mornings and bedtimes are hard to do solo.
But you're really disciplined to go to bed at night.
Yeah, I'm tired. I love my sleep. I cannot understand my kids. You try to put them to bed and they're like, no. Phoenix, you'll go for the crib and he goes, no. I'm not kidding. He will literally, I'm like, this is incredible. No. And like, you know, like trying to put a dog in the bathtub, they'll like shoot his feet out and put them on the edge of the crib and try to get you from putting him in there. You'll put both arms on the sides and try to not go down. I mean, he's turned into a toddler. He does not want to go to bed. And Lou is like, I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to. All I want to do is go to bed. I'm so tired.
But that's interesting that for someone as busy as you that you make sure you sleep.
I have to sleep. I've got to sleep or I can't function.
Yeah.
And I really value my sleep. Another big one, obviously you've heard this before, but hydration. So often we confuse a lack of hydration with hunger. And it's a simple solution. If you find that you're having that effect where it's like no matter what you eat, you're starving after every meal, drink 2 8-ounce glasses of water 15 minutes before you eat, and I guarantee you will eat significantly less. One study said that people ate up to 90 calories less per meal.
By having something to drink.
And if you think about it, if you're having 3 meals, 1 snack, that could be 300 to 400 calories in a day. It's almost a pound. It ends up being 3/4 of a pound a week, but over the course of a month, it's 3 pounds. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
3 pounds that you're not putting on.
Yeah,
that's a lot that you don't have to work off. That's significant.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's something that you've noticed, try it. See if it helps. Another one, of course, is going to be the quality of your food. So if you're eating food or meals with low fiber and no protein, you're probably going to be starving. So the suggestion is to include more high-fiber foods because they help you feel fuller for longer. Because remember, one of the things that's going to help you feel full is when food expands in your stomach, it signals your body to release leptin. But if you're eating stuff that doesn't have fiber, like white flour, white breads, white pastas, white sugar, your body is ripping through that, breaking it down in no time. You're getting a huge blood sugar surge and then a huge blood sugar crash. So you want to eat foods that are going to break down more slowly. Protein breaks down more slowly. Healthy fats will break down more slowly. Foods that are high in fiber, incorporating more vegetables will help keep you fuller for a longer period of time. So make sure that each meal has healthy fiber in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a whole grain. It could be a vegetable. Try to avoid fruit because obviously that's fructose. It's sugar. So go with a vegetable, which is low on the glycemic index, high in fiber, and add some protein. So if it's breakfast, don't just have oatmeal. Have oatmeal and an egg. A little less oatmeal, obviously. Make the calories the same. Don't overeat. Or you can have a little granola, but have it with plain yogurt.
Yeah.
You balance it out. And last but not least, you could just be bored.
Ain't that the truth?
A lot of times we think that we're hungry, but you're not. You're just bored. You're just bored. And this is where I say, go back to that test trick and say, oh, does a steak sound good right now? And that's how you know kind of if you're hungry or you're bored. And distract yourself. Get a hobby going. Find something that you love to do and do it. Get something that you enjoy. I mean, this is going to sound silly, but Heidi's mom likes to scrapbook. I'm not saying you got to take it up, but she loves it. That's what she does.
Scrapbooking is very popular.
I don't know. She likes to do it. Whatever it might be that you enjoy. Find something you enjoy and do it. A hobby that you've taken up, a project that you love. Maybe you're a guy and you like to rebuild cars. I don't know. Whatever it might be, find something that you love and do it. Come up with a solution for your boredom.
Do you have a scrapbook?
I don't scrapbook.
But do you have you saved all your like articles and things? And put them in a little book?
No, I don't.
Oh, geez.
No, the internet does all of that for me. Lucky me. You want to kill yourself? Google your name. That'll make you jump right off. If you want to feel like the worst piece of crap on the planet, Google yourself. Yeah, no, I don't need to save my scrapbooks.
I'm gonna make you a scrapbook. You got going to have little pictures in there. You're going to save that stuff.
No.
Yes.
No.
Do you have any of your old report cards or anything? Did your mom save any stuff?
No.
Oh, Jillian.
No, that stuff's just stuff. See, I don't like stuff. Oh. I don't like stuff. Heidi's mom. Oh, my God. Did we ever talk about this with the stuff?
Yes.
Every freaking time she comes out with a box of stuff. She's got dolls from when Heidi was 7 years old. I'm like, what is this, honey? And it's like this ratted, tattered, filthy,
it
disgusting.
It could be Zozo. I still have Zozo. I sucked on its tail. So it's just nothing
disgusting
but...
blanket, right?
No,
disgusting
it's
blanket.
A nasty looking. It used to be a cat, but now it just looks like a bald.
I just found my old disgusting blanket when I was looking for stuff. It's in a Ziploc bag.
I mean, see, this is what happens when people have basements. They have places for all this crap. In California, we don't have room for this, and it isn't going in my garage because that's where my car goes. I'm so sick of this. I'm like, that's where my car goes.
I'm calling your mother. I'm going to call you.
It's just, honest to God. I mean, seriously, like, Joyce has saved all these things for Heidi, and it's like, My Little Pony, Cabbage Patch. And Lou looks at it, and she's like, whoa? You know, like, play with a Cabbage Patch doll. She wants a My American Girl doll. I don't know what a Cabbage Patch doll is. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, some things to think about if you can't fend off hunger.
All right. Thank you.
The Zozo thing's gross. What if I told you guys that starting at only $19.95 a month, you could have a wholesome, nutritionist-approved snack box sent straight to your door? That's less than a buck a day, okay? And guess what? You can. And that is where NatureBox.com comes in. NatureBox.com is a subscription-based service. They offer delicious and nutritious snack delivery on a monthly basis. So no matter what your dietary needs are, these guys have you covered. If you're vegan, if you're gluten-free, if you want non-GMO, you name it, they can handle it for you. Their products are made from wholesome ingredients and they abide by strict quality standards. They are Jillian approved. That means no high fructose corn syrup, no partially hydrogenated oils, no trans fats, no artificial sweeteners, no artificial colors, etc. They've got 3 boxes and 3 different price points, so there's options to fit everyone's needs and everyone's budget. Whether you're at home, whether you're going to the office, or if you're just on the go, these are snacks you can feel great about. And at any point, if you want to, you can pause your subscription or even cancel it. So what are you guys waiting for? For our listeners, NatureBox.com is going to offer 50% off your first month's box in any size. All you have to do is go to NatureBox.com/Jillian and get started today. It's that easy. All lowercase, NatureBox.com/Jillian. So check it out. It is awesome. So I just got home from being on tour, and I can't tell you how many of you guys came up to me and told me how you've lost a ton of weight and you want to become a trainer. You're working on becoming a trainer, and it's always tomorrow. Why not today? Why not right now? This is not complicated, guys. I got to tell you that becoming a professional trainer was one of the best decisions I've made in my life. It's allowing me to do what I love and make a great living at it. And it's simple. All you have to do is go to the National Academy of Sports Medicine and get certified. You can earn great money in a career that you will love. And I got to tell you, certified personal trainers are in high demand right now. And the National Academy of Sports Medicine will help make your dreams a reality by guaranteeing that you will land a job within 90 days of earning your certification, or they're going to give you your money back. So get started with a free 14-day sneak peek of their fun, fast, easy online program. Simply go to usatrainer.com. Again, that's usatrainer.com. Check it out. Sign yourself up. usatrainer.com. What are you waiting for? Janice, I think I figured out, remember that segment we did about how you're having pooping problems?
Well, no, I wasn't having pooping problems. You said I had pooping problems. I just said that I like to do a crossword in the pooper.
Right, because you're straining and it's taking you a while.
No, because I like to sit. Yes, sometimes I have. Sometimes
straining.
If I eat peanuts or cheese, I'm in trouble.
Well, all right, but I think that there might be more to your problem. Why? Have you guys heard about this? This new squatting revolution. It's called the Great Squat Pooping Experiment.
What?
No, I'm serious. Cameron Diaz went on the Dr. Oz show to talk about poop. And then Dr. Oz handed out clay to the entire audience, and he asked them to mold the clay into their most recent poop. And, of course, they did because... that's the world we live in now, a world where people reconstruct their fecal output in front of millions of strangers without giving it a second thought. But, yeah. And so, basically, they're saying that by sitting on the toilet, it creates the need to strain. Now, because it there's a kink, quote, in the garden hose, right?
Okay.
But if you in a squatting posture, that bend straightens out and, quote, defecation becomes easier.
Okay. The squatty potty.
Yeah. Who's heard of this?
I have heard.
Yep.
It's been enthusiastically endorsed on the Howard Stern Show, TMZ, The Doctors. Oh, TMZ endorsed it.
What is it, like a yoga squat?
If
like...
the Squatty Potty website is in any way accurate, he's halfway to being poop-free. Let's see. Okay, so let's find this Squatty Potty website. Oh, Autumn found it. Here we go. Can someone read me the science? Robert Edwards, the Utah-based creator of the Squatty Potty, gave me, okay, more reason to think about why I've been living in a bowel movement prison. This is an article. By opening the colon... pooping in the natural squat position makes elimination faster, more complete, and reduces strain. Autumn, read me the science behind this.
How the squatty potty works.
How the squatty potty works. Squattypotty.com. All right, yeah. So instead of your legs being in a 90-degree angle, you're like squatting with the knees. Oh, there's
It's like a little stool. It almost looks like a kid's stool. That fits around the base of the toilet. So when you're sitting on the toilet...
your knees are elevated.
Yeah, your feet... it elevates your feet, so your knees are above your hips.
Okay.
So you create more, instead of a 90-degree...
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. You've got more of a 45-degree angle from your knees to your bum to your shoulders. There's like a 45-degree... Okay. Yeah. And how does... how the squatty potty works? What do you got?
So... how the squatty potty works. So humans have squatted for millennia.
Oh,
apparently. The advent of the modern toilet.
Oh.
So what happens is if you're not bent forward far enough, it's still pinching off that puborectalis muscle.
The is that a word? A puborectalis?
Puborectalis?
You said puorectalis.
Puborectalis.
Pubo.
Muscle.
Puborectalis muscle.
Is what pinches off the colon. So their logic is by bending at the
knees above the hips. This is real. This was just on. If it's good enough for Dr. Oz, it's going to be good enough for you.
No, I'm ready.
Why don't you try to learn something?
I'm trying.
Bent forward, knees above the hips.
Okay.
Allows that muscle to become unkinked and fully relaxed, which allows waste to pass through.
Unencumbered.
Isn't that funny? Because I would think that in that position, it's like when you're out in the woods, that you're actually pinching your stomach. See, if I go down, squat.
That's a good squat, by the way. Nice Achilles flexibility.
But see, to me, I'm pinching my stomach.
Yeah, but think about this. Might be TMI. How much can you hold in that position?
Yeah, just about.
Especially
nothing.
If you have to go.
You mean pee-pee or poo-poo?
Either. When you go down like that, nothing, if it's urgent, you can't hold it.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I would hold, I can't hold number one, but I could hold number two in that position.
For how long?
I do all the time in yoga, otherwise I'd toot right in class.
I don't mean on a, I mean if you need to,
that's
if
the
you
last
have
thing
to
people
go,
need to hear.
You tooting goddess?
If you have to go, I don't.
Goddess squat?
That's goddess squat?
That's goddess. That squat right there. Yeah, it's called goddess.
Can you imagine if everybody's in the goddess and all of a sudden...
I think this is interesting. I say if you're having poo issues, you should try it. It's called the squattypotty.com. It looks like he's just putting a stool there. But you talked about your strain.
Yes, and I know
that I had heard about this before from a friend of mine who, in Japan, they...
They're Japan.
They only do the... Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean...
That hole in the floor, it's tricky.
I know you're not supposed to ever push.
I don't have Achilles flexibility, though. That's the problem. Like, if I squat down like that, I fall backwards.
You do?
Yeah, I've got terrible flexibility in my Achilles. Terrible. I can't do goddess unless my feet are, like, outside of my shoulder. As in, you squat down... And I mean, like, not weightlifting squat. Squat, as in bum below the knees, almost like resting on your calves almost. Like, goddess pose, like yoga.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I don't have the flexibility in my Achilles.
Huh.
I would have to be on the balls of my feet.
So you wouldn't be able to use the squatty potty.
I would because it's not that deep of an angle. I'm trying to, you know, here's the thing. You've been a real naysayer today. I'm trying to help you. If this is on Dr. Oz and it's good enough for Cameron Diaz and it's good enough for all those other shows, why isn't it good enough for you?
No,
you who needs this help.
Yes, no, I'll try anything. But I have, you know, yes, Jillian, I will try.
I just don't understand the attitude.
Well, just because it's I don't know, just seems... archaic.
A producer who gets paid way more than you came up with this segment and put it on a show that probably has a Marconi and an Emmy, and you stand there passing judgment.
No, I'm not saying that it's not good.
I'm trying to give real advice, or at least be current, while bringing up a subject that I like to talk about very much. Janice's right. Pooping habits.
So there it is, the squatty potty. And if you don't have it, you can just put a try with. What I'm going to do when I go home, I'm going to try it with a stool. I'm going to put a little stool there and
yes.
See how it feels.
I bet you won't even be able to get through more than a few words, right, Jake?
A few.
Five across.
Five across.
Seven down. I'm done. You're out of here.
Five across, seven down.
She has no flat surface to hold it on anyways now.
Yeah,
45.
That's right.
In and out.
I think so.
I will try it, and I will report to you.
Life is calling. Just try to realize how many minutes of your precious life you waste.
Yeah, but I'm working my brain. Working my brain.
That's beyond hope.
Hey, it is caller time, and we have Antoinette from Staten Island waiting to talk to you.
Excellent. Antoinette?
Hi, Jillian. I'm Antoinette, and I'm 38 years old. My son is 3 years old, and he was just diagnosed. He was diagnosed last June with leukemia, and I've been under a lot of stress, to say the least, and I've gained about 20 pounds since his diagnosis. And it's been really hard for me to lose weight, or anytime I try to go on a diet, I just blow it. This year is like a big year for me because it's my 20-year reunion and we have a lot of family events. But my question is, how do I get in control of things, most of all my health and weight, under such a stressful time in my life, especially when, you know, I find it hard juggling all the responsibilities of work, going to the hospital, being a mom, a wife, and still finding the time to take care of myself.
Okay. I have a couple thoughts here, buddy. All right. My first one, I just want to ask you kind of what seems like a heartless and stupid question, but just bear with me for a second.
Sure, absolutely.
Why do you, how literally and why are you gaining the weight? What's happening?
You know, I think it's pretty funny because I'm a really good, you know, I eat very healthy, but I just think when I'm nervous, I just tend to want to snack and shoot, you know, and it's all healthy things. And I just think it's probably the quantity.
Okay. And you're doing it when you're anxious and you're nervous.
Exactly. So like it starts really great during the day, but as the day gets stressful, it's just mindless at that point. It's just, you know,
I think that's what probably happens. Okay. So obviously, of course you're feeling anxious and of course you're feeling stressed with everything going on right now. So number one, what we want to do is try to find another thing or behavior or person you can turn to when you're feeling this way that's going to help you manage this anxiety, okay? And when we talk about this anxiety, is it what is happening for you emotionally in that moment? Is it feeling out of control? Is it just sadness? What in the moment emotionally is going on?
I think it depends on what it is. Like if I'm at the hospital, I just think it's just it's just hard seeing certain situations. Luckily, my son has a good prognosis and he's doing really well. Thank but God. There are things during the day that you see there that are really hard, especially when you're dealing with children. And I don't think it's conscious, too. Like, you don't realize how the day impacts you until later on at night or when you get home. And even, like, I guess I'm not exercising, too, whereas just finding not time to do that as well, which I think is contributing to it as well.
Okay.
But I think it's just, and then that it depends on work, because my job, it could be demanding at certain times as well. So it just depends on the day. And I just know I'm a stressful eater. I used to have like a thing of gummy bears and it's just the chewing, I think, is, like.
Okay, hold on. So, okay, I think I get it. So let's start. There are three things. Let's start with the first one, which is I want you, and I give this piece of advice a lot. I want you to really think about it right now. Who can you turn to? What can you turn to? That's going to make you feel good. That is not food. And I've used references like riding my horse, calling a very close friend, walking with my dog, even watching, as ridiculous as this sounds, even just watching one of my favorite shows. I love Downton Abbey. I'm catching up and I get excited. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to veg out and I'm going to watch Downton Abbey and I'm not going to think about anything else the rest of the day. So I have these behaviors that I turn to that comfort me, that I find pleasurable, that will help distract me from something that's making me feel scared, upset, emotional, anxious. Do you have anything like that that you can cultivate, that you can pinpoint, a person you can go to?
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely can, think of things that I could do. I know with me, it's really prayer a lot comforts me, and I think that especially in my own situation, that is probably what I really need to turn to as well. But also, sometimes you just need to veg out and watch a show as well.
I want you to make a list, okay, of hobbies you love, people you can turn to. I want you to reach out to those people, establish the ability to call them at any time, who can be a support system for you, things that you love to do that are nurturing and life-affirming, that aren't destructive and aren't food, which brings me to my second point. You've got a lot going on right now. You've said yourself you're juggling a job, a marriage, taking care of your son. You need to get help. Who's helping you with this? Friends, family members, coworkers, neighbors?
My mother-in-law is helping me, and my husband has been amazing. I mean, we're both, trying our best because we also have a daughter.
Yeah. I think you need somebody outside of the marriage, though, right now, who can provide a little more objectivity,
right?
Because you probably feel guilty being like, oh, he's going through everything I'm going through, and there a friend? I want you to really think about reaching out, to a best friend, to a sibling, to a coworker, and saying, I really need you right now. Can you watch my son from this period so I can get to the gym, or I can watch a show, or I can completely unplug for a period of time where you can create that space for you, even if it's a bubble bath or a manicure pedicure, where you can just unplug from all of this stress.
Right.
Are you comfortable with asking for help like that?
And I think that has been the problem, and is just making everything, whether it's picking. So we have a lot of help, in terms of people picking up, my father picks up my daughter from school while we're at the hospital, and it's juggling schedules, and there's different people helping us get through day-to-day things that it's hard to get someone else because we're really expending all our resources just using the people we have to, you know, get another person, you know what I mean, to have the time to for yourself. Do you know what I mean? So we're kind of using all the people we have just to keep things going.
Okay. You know? I just want to make sure that you are, in fact, depending on the kindness of the people in your life, that you're not afraid to ask for help, that you don't feel guilty about that.
You're absolutely right in the sense that there is a ton of guilt that goes with it because we are asking so much of our family, and they've been incredible. So that, you know, but it is, that is a hard thing for me to do, is ask for help, even for me to email or, you know, ask you a question was even hard for me to do.
Why?
You know,
I put a thing out saying, please ask me questions.
No, but it's funny because it's just, I guess the person I am that normally, like, you're just a strong person, so it's hard to ask for help because normally, you know, you're a person that gets things done, and you know it's almost like I haven't even taken a picture of myself because I gain weight. It bothers me that much.
Honey, listen to me. Guess what you don't have room for in your life right now?
I know.
Guess what you don't have room for? You don't have room for shame.
Right.
That's not a luxury you get to afford, which is probably a great thing. Because if we were to look at any of the positive lessons or meaning that we could create out of what you're going through, the fact that shame cannot exist within your world at the moment is a really good thing. And that lack of worth or fear of disappointment that you will reach out and ask for help and it might not be there, you also don't have room for that. You don't have room to stop and allow that defense mechanism to go, oh my God, what if I ask for help and they resent me? Well, what if you do and they resent you? So what? Moving on. Wasn't a person that should have been in your life anyway. There you go.
Right.
Moving swiftly forward. You know, you need to be, gosh, I hate to say this, but it's like freedom's another word for nothing left to lose. Right now, if somebody doesn't want to help you, if you reach out and they don't want to help you or they're not there for you, honestly, you don't have time to grieve that or feel guilty about that or feel less than about that. You need to do what you need to do to survive, to take care of your son, to take care of your daughter, and to take care of your husband. And that means leaning on other people that have the resources at that point in time. And guess what? This world is built upon currency, the flow from one human being to another, giving and receiving. These are equally important aspects of our lives. So when you're receiving, you will then one day be in a good space and you'll be capable enough to pay it forward. You know how that goes. You need to start asking for help and going outside of those spaces where you feel comfortable and getting rid of any shame or any guilt or any insecurity or self-worth issues that you have about it. And when you, and here's a little trick that I used to use on my Biggest Loser contestants, and it's not really something that I should teach you because I really want it to be about you. But what I would do to them is I would get them to do things for fear that I would beat up another contestant. So I'd say, if you don't run, that's fine. I'm going to beat the heck out of so-and-so. And then let me tell you, they would run because they're like, oh my God, so I don't want so-and-so to get beat up, but they didn't care about themselves. Well, what I eventually did was used them doing these things and having these accomplishments to build their self-esteem over time. So I kind of manipulated them into it.
Right
now I'm going to say, you need to ask for help for the sake of your son, your husband, and your daughter. You have to do that. So I want you to think of it that way. And as you get more comfortable in doing so and asking for help, hopefully one day you'll be able to ask for it for yourself. Okay?
Well, thank you, Jillian. I really, really, really appreciate it. I really do. It puts things into perspective. And, you know, I really just have to get this off because it is bothering me that much, the weight.
And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you a bunch of stuff, okay? DVDs, books. I'm going to give you a membership to JillianMichaels.com. I'm going to get your information. Janice is going to get your information. And we're going to send you a bunch of stuff. And I'm going to check in on you. All right? We're going to get your email. And you think about what I said. Get those recovery behaviors in place and start asking for help. And I'm expecting an update. okay?
Jillian, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. Thank you
for
taking the time. I really, really appreciate it.
Honey, it's our pleasure. Thank you for calling. And you just, you know, you hang in there and we're here for you. All right?
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for everything.
Have a great night.
You too.
Okay. Bye, buddy.
Bye-bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.